Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
All right, a little warm out there with the sun, but the dew points are in the 50s, so not very sticky. Going to get one more blast here of hot air in the St. Louis area. David Strom from hotair.com is back with us on this Monday afternoon to catch up on some political things, etc., up in Minneapolis. How are you, Mr. Strom?
Hey, I'm on the air with you, so life could hardly be better.
I like that answer. That is a good answer. I'm going to walk you through this afternoon, David Strom, a bit of an experiment, because I haven't done this story yet. I don't know if you've seen it, but I'm genuinely curious about your opinion before we get into some other things. So there was a story in the New York Times today, and it might have been yesterday. Okay, it was sometime in the last couple of days. And the headline was, she was fired for a comment on her private Facebook account, a look at how one state has turbocharged the crackdown on anyone who has criticized Charlie Kirk after his death. So this is in Muncie, Indiana at Ball State University. Are you familiar with this at all?
I am not. So
okay, well, this is good
then. You're going to catch...
Yeah. I like it. I like that. All right, so her name is Suzanne Schwartz, and it says 2 days after Charlie Kirk was killed, Suzanne Schwartz, an employee at Ball State University, woke up to a cascade of missed calls, texts, and voicemail messages from numbers she did not know. They were calling me all kinds of names, threatening my job. It was very awful curse words under the sun. I immediately texted my supervisor and I said, I think I have a situation. So what she figured out, and you probably could guess this by now, is that something that she posted on her Facebook page went viral. And Libs of TikTok, which has been outing people up there for some of this, slaps it up on their website, and eventually then she gets fired. Now, I want to read you what she wrote on her page, okay? Because I do think that there some of these things are each case is different. So she said, let me be clear. If you think Charlie Kirk was a wonderful person, we can't be friends. His death is a tragedy, and I can and I do feel for his wife and children. I believe in the resurrection. While it's difficult, can and do pray for his soul. Charlie Kirk's death is a reflection of the violence, fear, and hatred he sowed. It does not excuse his death, and it's a sad truth. And she capitalized "and." The shooting is a tragedy, and I can do and feel for college campuses experiencing active shooter situation. The deaths of Melissa and Mark Hortman, you know them, in Minneapolis last month, and the children shot in Colorado today are all tragedies that also deserve your attention. And then the last comment is cut off by the screen capture that I took, but it says something about how, you know, he died in the name of the Second Amendment because he was the Second Amendment. So in this particular situation, I don't agree, you know, with someone who says we can't be friends. But when I read this story in the New York Times, now, David, here's what I say. There's always things that could be missing here from this account, right?
Yep.
And she is a progressive, and she's identified as a progressive in this article. But to me, I mean, it's not like me to be empathetic. Anyone who knows me, Strom, will tell you that. I don't feel that that is a fireable offense for writing that. What do you think?
I don't think that's either a fireable offense or even one that, you know, deserves social opprobrium on the level.
I don't either. There were plenty that did, but this one seems, I don't know. I don't like going after everyone out there who says something on their Facebook page. And this one seemed to not be, I mean, I don't know. The world's gotten crazy, right?
It has. And there certainly is a faction out there who are interested in canceling anyone for any dissent at all. And, you know, I think if someone, you know, merely says, look, I didn't agree with Charlie Kirk, so I'm not going to get involved in, you know, all of the eulogies out there. But, you know, here's how I feel about political violence towards anyone, which is totally unacceptable. That's fine. I mean, there are plenty of liberals about which I would say precisely that. And it ought to be perfectly socially acceptable. You shouldn't have to bow down to the altar of someone in order to share the common civilized idea that one does not resolve disputes with a gun.
Yeah. I think that's going to be interesting to kind of keep a look on moving forward. You had to have written about Jimmy Kimmel. I kind of, you know, have repeated myself so often on this. I don't like him. I'm not a fan. I don't think he's funny. I don't care if he ever comes back. Obviously, he's back. Did not like the FCC, even the appearance of the FCC being involved. And I'm kind of disappointed that more conservatives seemingly were not on my side on that. A little disappointed, Strom. That's what I'll tell you.
Well, I was on your side.
I know
on that.
You were. You're a principled man.
There were conservatives. I mean, I would say that opinion was split, and it shouldn't have been. I think what happened post Charlie Kirk's assassination was a sense among a lot of Republicans and conservatives that it's time to impose on the left the same rules that they have imposed on us. And, you know, to be fair, Jimmy Kimmel has celebrated the cancellation of plenty of conservatives.
Oh, he has, no doubt.
And so he is not someone who has a right to lecture us about hypocrisy.
I would agree with that. Absolutely.
So, I mean, I look at that and say, you know, Brendan Carr getting in the middle of this actually stepped on what was likely to happen anyway, which was, you know, Kimmel getting yanked for being a jerk. And he may actually have gotten fired for that otherwise, because he's a huge money loser. They're probably looking for an excuse to fire him, and now they can't.
Yeah, because he's a martyr. The contract's up, and I don't know where that is going to head. But I find it interesting just because look, here's another reason I'm disappointed.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
In that storyline, there was a bigger story about censorship last week. You know, this Google story and what they admitted and what you and I talked about during COVID. And a lot of guests we were trying to highlight that we finally have been vindicated on. That is a major story. But by the way, started here partially in Missouri with Eric Schmidt, a now senator who is the attorney general, who is filing lawsuits about some of this stuff. And it finally comes out.
Doing great work.
Right. Exactly. So that's a bigger story and, you know, gets shoveled down the New York Times and the Washington Post columns because they don't want to talk about the real censorship that went on from the Biden administration. So there's a lot of things that have happened media-wise and coverage-wise. I get it. He's a celebrity, so he gets more attention, right?
Yeah, and you know, getting back to the conservative side of this, we stepped on our message. Donald Trump stepped on our message. Particularly, we're also fighting with the European Union. And so to have Brendan Carr and Donald Trump appear to push the censorship, and we can argue about whether they cross the line or not, really just, you know, made our case 1,000 times harder. This is really, it really ought to be a black and white issue.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah, we agree. Absolutely. David Strom is here from hotair.com. So, you know, I was talking quite a bit last week and she was making the rounds and I had to play some of the audio because it was so comical of Kamala and her book. But how about the Washington Post? And you wrote about this over the weekend. The best that can be said about Harris's step back into the spotlight is that it's happening now. Democrats have a real shot at victory in 2028, but they won't have time to waste on someone like the former vice president. I thought it was just the evil conservatives that were saying mean things about the former vice president, David.
Well, in my column, I made the crack that Kamala Harris should be glad that she wasn't, you know, out on a walk with Kristi Noem, because, you know, she might have gotten a bullet in the back of her head, you know. That was just vicious. And I think it's an indication that, you know, it's not just that, you know, they're angry at her for having blown what they all thought was a very winnable race, but they are tired of her whining about it. I mean, they spent $2 billion. They handed her the nomination. They really gave it to her on a silver platter. You know, she had billions of dollars of free media from, you know, a really compliant Pravda media, and she blew it, and now she's whining about it, and so they just want to take her out back, shoot her, and put her in the wood chipper, rhetorically speaking. And the Washington Post is the voice of the liberal establishment, and that was their version of doing precisely that.
So one thing that's interesting, Mark Halperin, I know you in your column, you sort of connected the video link to this. So he's one of, I would say that he's one of the better political reporters out there. He seems to get things straight. I think he's a former ABC guy that went independent, right? But he said, this is an interesting observation. We've seen stories criticizing the book tour, her performance, some scathing stuff. What we haven't seen is the Bidens, including Hunter Biden, come at her. And I think if the Bidens read the full book, Halperin says, they'll see there's even more in there that would make them unhappy. I think the question is, do they do it now or do they wait for their own books, which, don't forget, are coming out? That could be fascinating kind of to watch, right?
Well, and I think we actually saw the first shot, you know, the Bidens, for all their flaws and for all the amount of annoyance that they gave the establishment, have a lot of chits to bring in. And I think what we saw in the Washington Post was the first of many that will also come out in those books. I mean, there were a lot of people behind the scenes that gave a thumbs up to the Washington Post to, you know, to blast her like that. I mean, the Sunday opinion page of the Washington Post is one of the most read pieces of real estate in the world for anyone interested in politics. And so, you know, they got the green light from powerful Democrats, and that undoubtedly included the Biden family.
But when they say, this is what's interesting to me, let's break down this, Democrats have a real shot at victory in 2028. Well, look, these presidential races are close, and we know that they've been close in certainly all of modern history, maybe. Although this last one wasn't that close electorally, was it? But what gives the Washington Post any kind of indication that the Democrats have a shot at real victory in 2028? Because whoever gave the green light for that, look, you got green lights that could come from the AOCs and from, you know, some of the more radical people. You got green lights from, and I've even seen him written about this past weekend. I've been talking about Rahm Emanuel because I think he's going to make a serious run here. You got Pritzker here. So they have candidates, but what the most fascinating thing to me, because we know the standard bearer will be for conservatives will be J.D. Vance and a guy like Eric Schmidt here in Missouri. Those are the young, you know, Republicans who have a very strong future. But on the Democrat side, that's a lot less defined, because will it come from the crazy side of the equation or the not as crazy side of the equation?
Well, I mean, the Democrats are going to go through a huge civil war on this. And what we know is that the money is on one side, or at least the establishment money is on one side, because there's actually a large number of radical billionaire Democrats out there who are going to back someone like AOC. But, you know, the Chamber of Commerce types, you know, and the you know, the venture capital people are going to pack some establishment person. I think they'll love to get Rahm Emanuel into that slot.
Yeah. I mean, as a Republican, I'd be worried about that because I think he's a smart guy and he's not crazy on the cultural issues. So there would be appeal there.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think that the Democratic establishment believes that they don't have to worry about MAGA. They have to worry about Trump, that Trump is unique and that we will go back to a more normal politics, you know, as they understand it, after Trump is off the scene. I'm totally unconvinced because I think the problem that the Democrats have is the Democrats.
We saw this in the polling last week. That Harry Enten guy is having a blast because he gets to go on there and talk about how they're 21 points. The Democrats are 21 points under on crime. I mean, they've not narrowed the gap on any of these issues out there that they lost the election on. So I know there's time for that, but they don't want to, you know, say that a woman who has a penis is not a woman. They'll not do that because they fear about the reaction on the extreme left. So, you know, some of the right has issues not along those lines, but there's obviously the extremes that pull people in different directions. So I think it's going to be interesting to watch. One more topic that you wrote about, and this is fascinating to me. So a couple years ago, and I'm not an anti-vaxxer, right? And I don't think you are. You said that in your column. I had an appointment to get the shingles vaccine because I've known a couple of people who have had it, and it's been awful. And I guess with the shingles vaccine, it's like a two-part deal. And apparently, you might feel a little sick after you get it, and that happens with some vaccines. Well, I never kept the appointment. I never rescheduled it. But you had a column last week that was pretty interesting on the shingles vaccine, David Strom.
Yeah, well, I mean, the point of the column was, you know, we have to get back to informed consent. We have thrown it out the window. And the reason why I framed it around the shingles vaccine, Shingrix, is that a new study has come out that shows that after the first injection, it's two parts, you know, a month apart.
Right.
Or at least a month apart. After the first one, your chance of getting shingles goes up by 1,100%. You're 11 times more likely to get shingles after that first shot in the first 30 days than if you hadn't gotten a shot. And now, if you get the second shot, you know, your chances plummet.
Right.
And over time, even if you only get the first shot, your chances go back down. But, you know, my argument is you have to tell people things like this. If you don't tell people things like this, you are not giving them informed consent because there's a risk. And 1,100% increase in getting a horrible disease is not insignificant. So, and not everybody has exactly the same chance of getting shingles. We do this all the time where, you know, we do the shotgun approach. And, you know, so we need to get back to the notion that informing people rather than hiding things from people should be the standard in medicine.
I agree, especially in the aftermath of COVID with all the nonsense out there because the trust issues are. And, you know, look, I would say this, and I've got a great primary care doctor. I have a great psychiatrist right now. And, you know, those are maybe hard to find. You know, I've had primary care physicians who were not people that I trusted. So, and this is a concern just societally moving forward, because I think we have less and less of that where you have relationships with your doctors because just of the math and the demand and all of that. And then there's the trust factor as well. So it does say in that shingles thing that I think that the increase goes up significantly if you're over 65. I am still under 65, so maybe I should still get my shingles vaccination because that stuff's nasty from what I can hear. David Strom, always great to have you on. Thank you so much on this Monday afternoon. Have a great week.
Yeah, you too.
All right, we'll see you. Thanks, Dave.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.